Welcome to the Study On podcast. I'm your host, Angie Bauman, and I am passionate about Bible study. Friend, my journey has not been an easy one. I am a trauma and abuse survivor, and I still walk with a limp. But I also walk in freedom, because as I've studied God's word, He has released me from layers of shame and invited me into a life filled with an abundance of His peace, joy, rest, and hope. I'm transformed because I study the Bible, and my heart's desire is to create offerings that help you get and stay in your Bible so you experience that transformation too. So thank you for spending a few minutes with me. Maybe it's as you enjoy your coffee or with pen and notebook ready, or you're driving to work or walking the dog from wherever you are in your day. Let's dive deep into a verse of scripture together. So we walk steady on. Let's get started. Welcome, friend. And if you happen to be listening live as this episode drops, welcome into Passion Week. Yesterday on the Christian calendar was Palm Sunday. And so now we are in Passion Week, or Holy Week, as some traditions call it. And today we are going to be talking about Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem as we unpack Mark 11:9 using my step-by-step method. And step-by-step is an inductive Bible study tool that focuses on one word in one verse of scripture to find life application. If you'd like to study along with me today, you will find links to a study sheet and the step-by-step masterclass in today's show notes. Mark 11:9 in the NIV says this: "Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" A little bit of information about the Gospel of Mark. It is traditionally attributed to John Mark as the author. It is an account of Jesus's life and ministry, likely written for a Gentile or a non-Jewish audience. Chapter 11, where we are hanging out today, talks about the triumphal entry, and our section specifically is talking about praise for Jesus. So again, one more time, Mark 11:9 from the NIV: "Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Step one in the Bible study method is choose our word, and our word today is Hosanna. The definition of Hosanna is a cry of praise or adoration to God in liturgical use among the Jews, and said to have been shouted in recognition of the Messiahship of Jesus on his entry into Jerusalem, hence since used in the Christian church. Some synonyms for the word Hosanna are things like cheer, applause, ovation, acclamation, and some antonyms. And as I rattle off these antonyms, I want you to think about what's coming for Jesus, because here we are in Passion Week, leaning into the crucifixion of Jesus. And so think about some of the things that Jesus will endure that we know that are written in scripture as I'm talking about these antonyms. Antonyms for Hosanna are things like boo, jeer, disapproval, hissing, derision, taunt, mockery, ridicule, sneer, teasing, scoffing. One time years ago, I believe it was a study that I was doing in the Gospel of Matthew, actually. But one of the things that the Lord led me to do as I was studying the Gospel was to write down the things that happened to Jesus during the crucifixion, just to kind of take note. In this verse, it says they did this: they stripped him, they beat him, they mocked him, they spit on him, they hit him, flogged him. Like, I just was writing those things down. And as I made this list, oh, I can feel the tears behind my eyes right now. As I made this list of maybe like 12 or 15 things that I found in that section of scripture, it just rocked me to my core as I was just anew realizing what my Lord went through to do so many different things. But one of the things that he did that for was so that I would be able to understand, at least the best that I can, the depths of his love for me and the lengths that he is willing to go to demonstrate that love. So already, as I'm thinking about this crowd shouting Hosanna and praising him for being the one who will save them, who will help them, who will redeem them, I'm also thinking about these antonyms and how actually one of the ways that he does that, saves, comforts, heals, redeems, is through the sacrifice of the very opposite of what they were offering him as he was riding into Jerusalem. Oh, there's a lot in that for me anyway. All right. Step two in the method is investigate. We divide that up into four parts. Part one is to compare our word in other translations. And I found a few things here. One said, the CJB said, please deliver us. Interestingly, all of the words are marked with an exclamation point. So Hosanna in our verse in the NIV is Hosanna exclamation point. In the CJB, please deliver us exclamation point. CEV, hooray exclamation point. ERV, praise him exclamation point. We praise God. God save him. Hail to the King, greatest one, all with exclamation points. I just think that's interesting because it's this cry of our heart, right? Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, save me. Exclamation point, right? Part two of the investigate step is to research the original word. The Strong's number is G5614, which means, oh, save, exclamation point. It is an exclamation of adoration from a root word that means to be open, wide, free, or safe. And in my mind, the word that comes to me is release me, exclamation point. So often when I am crying out to the Lord, it is for release. Because there is something that is heavy, that is holding me back or weighing me down or entangling me. And it is the obstacle. It is blocking me from freedom, peace, contentment, joy. And I want to be released from that thing in order to be ushered in to the abundance that he promises me. Just a little history lesson on the significance of this word for the Jewish people. This is from the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, and it's talking about the Feast of Tabernacles. Tabernacles was one of the three feasts instituted by God in the Old Testament for all the Jewish people to participate in. On the seventh day of Tabernacles, the priests took willow branches in their arms, went in solemn procession around the altar of burnt offering, and cried repeatedly, O Lord, help us, O Lord, help us, or Hosanna, Hosanna. All right. This procession was repeated seven times on the seventh day of that feast, and the monotonous cry of prayer was supposed to express the urgent request for rain. O Lord, help us. O Lord, help us. We need this. We need this. Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us. Right. As Tabernacles, the feast itself, became a feast of praise rather than petition, so there was this transformation in the feast itself, the Hosanna, that word, that cry, what it meant, also made kind of a transformation, and the cry for help became a shout of jubilation. In the New Testament, this word occurs only in the story of the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, and according to Mark 11:9, the crowd greeted Jesus with shouts of jubilation that began and ended with Hosanna. So they're using this word from the Feast of Tabernacles that would have been familiar to them, that maybe years, generations before meant more of a cry of rescue, a cry of deliverance. And now this time in their culture, it means more a cry of praise and a cry of jubilation and a cry of celebration. But isn't it interesting how Jesus is going to actually do the saving, the redeeming, the deliverance that they're asking for in the cry of celebration and praise. Part three of the investigate step is to read some commentary. I'm going to start in the Enduring Word, another little history lesson. We call this event the triumphal entry, but it was a strange kind of triumph. If you spoke of Jesus's triumphal entry to a Roman, they would have laughed at you. For them, a triumphal entry was an honor granted to a Roman general who won a complete and decisive victory and had killed at least 5,000 enemy soldiers. When the general returned to Rome, they had an elaborate parade. First came the treasures captured from the enemy, then the prisoners. His armies marched by unit, and finally the general rode in a golden chariot pulled by magnificent horses. Priests burned incense in honor, and the crowds shouted his name and praised him. Sound familiar? The procession ended at the arena where some of the prisoners were thrown to wild animals for the entertainment of the crowd. That was a triumphal entry, not a Galilean peasant sitting on a few coats set out on a pony. When I visited Rome last fall, I actually got to see some of those triumphal arches that are still in Rome and that were used for the things that are described here in the Enduring Word. And I did stand there just understanding such sharp contrast that this display by the Jewish people for Jesus mimicked that in so many ways. And yet, over and over again, Jesus comes to do the very things that he's said he's going to do, that God keeps his promises. But a lot of times we have an idea of how him keeping his promises is going to play out in our life, right? And actually, he's so faithful and so trustworthy and keeps his word, but it often looks very different than what we thought it would, or what we expected it would, or even sometimes what we hoped it would. Douglas Mangum says the disciples shout words from Psalm 118, 25 to 26 as Jesus rides into the city. They are proclaiming that the Messiah, the son of David, is entering David's city. The disciples understand that Jesus is the Messiah, the son of David, and others do too. But among the people, the average concept of the nature of the Messiah's kingdom is wrong. And even the disciples don't understand the nature of his mission. They can't reconcile a suffering Messiah and a conquering one, and it is clear which one they want. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says Hosanna originally was a prayer addressed to God, meaning, oh, save us now. We talked about that with the tabernacles just a moment ago. And later it came to be used as a shout of praise, like hallelujah, and then as an enthusiastic welcome to pilgrims or to a famous rabbi. Hosanna in highest places, likely means save us, God, who lives in heaven. It's used here probably reflects a mixture of all these elements due to the nature of the crowd. And I liked the way that that commentary note ended, because any time we're with a group of people who pray or praise, what's on our heart is vastly different, right? Anytime I have the privilege of leading a worship service, and maybe there's a time of sharing joys or concerns, something like that, one of the things that I often say to the Lord, as we like close that time of sharing down, but then lift our prayers to God, is that I lift up the things that have been spoken, but I also lift up the things that have not been spoken, because for everything that someone has shared, there are dozens of things that are on the hearts of the people gathered that are not shared, right? For a variety of reasons, time, personal hesitation about sharing something publicly, like, right, all kinds of things. But we pray to and serve a God that not only knows, but is intimately involved in and actively working in every one of the concerns in every one of our hearts. And so, even though we lift up a corporate prayer, maybe we all say Hosanna, maybe we all say, Lord, save us, what that means to us and the need from which we are crying, from the place that which we're crying that, the need that we have are vastly unique, but intimately understood by our Savior. Oh, I love that so much. Okay, one more commentary note from Alan R. Cole. Their chanted slogans were taken from the Psalms and hailed a coming king of the family of David who would restore the kingdom of Israel to its old glory. They were expecting a political and nationalist leader, perhaps a violent social reformer, as many do today. Was this not exactly what Jesus had feared from the start, that all would misunderstand if he claimed to be God's Messiah? Nevertheless, on this day, Jesus rode on in triumph into the capital that he would soon weep over. And anytime I revisit this story, and commentaries, study Bibles, pastors, teachers, whatever, point out how mistaken the people were about who Jesus was and what Jesus was going to do for them or what he was going to offer them, I'm always struck by two things. One, my own pride that I think that I know what Jesus is doing in my life or who he is. And even though I do know that to a certain extent from the years I've walked with him, I still have no idea how what Jesus is doing in my life and how he is working and how he is calling me and his plans for me and all that. Like, I still miss it every day. And then also just how we as a people are called to be more aware and more confident in his faithfulness. And when we don't see it, to look for it harder or look for it differently, because he is showing up in our lives and he is keeping his promises and he is doing the things that he says he's going to do. And sometimes when we're discouraged or we doubt that, it's just because it's showing up in a way that we didn't expect or never dreamed. All right, so part four is called Rewrite, and we are going to try to rewrite. I'm going to try to rewrite the verse in our own words. And again, here it is, Mark 11:9 in the NIV. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And I rewrote it this way. The people who witnessed Jesus riding into Jerusalem followed him and shouted their praises, saying, "Save us, free us, comfort us, help us. You are the one sent from God who can do all these things for us." And again, as I was just saying, he is doing all those things for you. He is saving you, freeing you, comforting you, helping you, releasing you. That's a word I used earlier that I didn't put in my rewrite that I like so much. And if you're not experiencing that today, if you're not sensing it, if you're not seeing it, I just encourage you to ask him to show you where he's doing it and you're missing it, right? Because it's not the way that you expected. It's not the way you experienced before. It doesn't mean you're bad. It doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means sometimes we go into these things with our own expectations or ideas of what it's going to look like. And so then we're not experiencing him doing it for us the way that he longs for us to experience his presence and his salvation in our lives. Okay. Step number three in the method is called find the characteristics of God. And I think one of the things that stands out to me in this lesson is that he's uncomparable. I don't even know if that's a word, but he is the only one worthy of our dedication and praise, right? So there's no comparison. I don't know what that word is. You probably do. He's the only one. There's nothing else that compares to him. And even though, like I was just saying, it sometimes looks different than when we thought, right? He is still the one that is worthy of our trust and worthy of our praise. With that, I put that he is praiseworthy, because in Luke's account of this, it says, if we are silent, the rocks will cry out, right? Like all creation is his. And we are created to praise him, to be in relationship with him and to praise him. And he is praiseworthy. And I just encourage you, if you are struggling with that at all today, take just a moment and write down some of the things that you're thankful for and praise him for those things. Maybe there's a situation in your life. I know this is true for me sometimes where I'm like, I don't see you here. You're not releasing me here. You're not saving me here. You're not freeing me from here. At least you're not on the timeline that I wish you were. And I can get really focused on that place of not understanding, that place of confusion, that place of him, maybe I feel like he's not showing up for me the way that I wanted him to. But if I will discipline myself to look at other places in my life where I can see evidence of that, right? Where I can see, I see you here. I see you here. I acknowledge you here. I know you're working here. Then I am more resistant to the lie that he's not working in my life, because there's a place over here that's not quite where I want it to be. Yes, but oh my goodness, I can see your faithfulness so much in my life and these other places. And I will praise you for those while my heart catches up with praising you in this other area that isn't so easy for me right now, right? So I just encourage you in that. Just focus on the places that he is active in your life that you can see. And let that help you build your trust that he is active in your life in the place that you can't see right now. Then the last one that I wrote down for characteristics of God is willing to yield, that he humbled himself, because that's what would help us come to him. That's how much he loves us. He wants to meet us in the way that we can understand. Step four in the method is identifying the lie of the enemy, and that's identifying the obstacle, the fear, the block to embracing this promise or this understanding that God is working in our lives. And so I wrote down that he didn't, so don't praise him as if he did, and don't praise him as if he will, because we all have things in our life, right, where they might feel like he didn't save us. He didn't release us. He didn't comfort us. He didn't assist us. And again, That's what we were just saying about the characteristics of God. Whatever that place is for you today, I just encourage you to cover it with an avalanche of the things that he does, that he has done, and to trust that salvation, release, redemption is coming. God is a God that keeps his promises. And so we can praise him, knowing that he will do what he has promised to do. Trust that it is coming and that he is good, and nothing can change that. We can praise Hosanna in our hearts, even for work we don't understand or we do not see. All right. So step five in the method is called So What, where we write a key takeaway from our time together today. And here's my so what. I put, where am I expecting Jesus to show up for me? Where am I looking for the ways he is showing up for me? And where am I praising him for his faithfulness in showing up for me? Oh, I'd love to hear your takeaway. You can email me anytime at steadyonpodcast@gmail.com. If you have not yet, I would be so grateful if you would subscribe to the podcast on whatever directory you use to listen. It only takes a second and it guarantees you will receive every episode, and it just helps the show a lot. So thank you. And if someone came to mind as you were listening today, I'd love it if you would share this episode with them. Inviting them into what we're doing here is another great way to support the show. Thank you for listening. I pray wherever your day takes you, you are walking in the confident knowledge that you are a beloved, cherished child of God.